ask you this morning, as we begin our series on the attributes of God, we're looking this morning at God's imminence, and or the fact that He is close at hand. We'll be looking at various texts this morning, but as we begin, I'll be reading from the prophecy of Jeremiah. If you want to turn there with me and follow along, you are welcome to. We'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning in verse 16, and reading through verse 32. The portion of this chapter that we'll be looking at in the actual sermon is verses 23 and 24. But this morning, I'll be reading from verse 16 through verse 32. Hear now the word of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word, or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest, it will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the later days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that he cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams, that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name in for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them, so they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and also now the preaching of his word. I can remember when I was a young boy, I don't remember exactly what I did, but I knew I had done something wrong, something deserving of punishment and discipline. And as my father knew it as well, and he was looking through the house for me, I was safely under my bed. And I could hear him calling to me, and not an angry voice, but still, I knew what was coming, calling for my name, calling me over and over again. I didn't want to be in the presence of my father. I didn't want him at hand at that moment. But then there are those times when, you know, walking, and a path in dark woods or even going down to a dark basement. But I really wanted my father there. I wanted him by my side as I faced things that scared me. Today we're looking at the immanence of God. This attribute of God that he is everywhere. We can't escape him. He is close at hand. You know, there is a popular philosophy that looks at God as simply as a watchmaker. He made the created world. He made the created order. He wound it up like a watch, and then he just set the watch on the shelf and just lets it run. That's not the God that we serve. That's not who God is. He is a God who is close at hand. He is imminent. He is near us. And this is a cause for two reactions. As we come to realize the imminence of God and to think about it today, first of all, it's really to cause us to tremble in fear. To tremble in fear that God is a God at hand. But for his people, it is also a means and a reason for us finding comfort and being consoled. The fact that God himself is in fact near. That he is at hand. So the theme we'll be looking at is God is close at hand, tremble, and be comforted. God is close at hand, tremble, and be comforted. Now in the first point this morning, tremble in fear, for God is close at hand. I just read this morning in Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll be looking at also Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, a little bit on later on in this point. But in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24, those are the verses that I want to focus on in this point. There God asks these questions, "Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" Now, I read the larger context so we could see those questions in the setting in which they were made. And as I read those verses, God is confronting and he's challenging the prophets of Israel. They had become false and lying prophets. They were telling people that what they were doing was fine. The wickedness and the evil that they were taking part in was good. And God didn't care about it. He was going to bless you because of it. This can really apply to our own day and age, isn't it? There are many false prophets throughout the world, in our own land, calling what is good evil and what is evil good. God, in these verses, in the verses that follow, says that he is against such prophets. Now, the answer to God's first question is that, yes, he is a God at hand. He is not a God far away. The answer to the next question, can a man hide himself in secret places? No. No man can hide himself in secret places. And then the other question, do I not fill heaven and earth? Yes. Yes, God does. He is everywhere. Now, as God says in verses 30 to 32, how he is against the prophets, these things are terrifying. As I read those verses, and as God is setting up his case against the prophets, and he says, behold, you know, three times he says, behold, I am against the prophets. Put yourself in the shoes of a prophet of Israel as this prophecy was being spoken, as Jeremiah came to the courts and proclaimed this message. I'd be terrified. Hopefully they were terrified. To know and to hear that the God of heaven is against them. But it's not just for the prophets of Israel of old. This is also for everyone who inhabits the whole earth. The fact that God sees, he is a God at hand, he is a God who is near, he fills heaven and earth, and there is no place in his creation, from the remotest parts of the universe to the depths of our own sea, that we can hide from him. as I was growing up, and we would travel back east to Pennsylvania to spend Thanksgiving with my grandparents on my dad's side. Now, my dad was the oldest of five children, and four boys and one girl, and they lived on a dairy farm. And my dad and his brothers and sister would reminisce, and they would talk about their childhood. And I immediately knew that my childhood was woefully boring compared to theirs. The things that they were able to do, the fun they were able to have, and it was amazing. And the thing about it, when you hear stories, I mean, they never get old, you know, of barns being burned down, of jumping off the barn roof into a pile of manure, of jumping into creeks and getting injured, of even one story of during the winter, my dad said they figured out there was a path along the road to school, and they figured out there was a curve that if all the kids went from one side of the bus to the other side of the bus would slide off the road enough that it would delay them to getting to school. And so this is, you know, and I use these stories with my dad's permission. I asked him this week, like, may I tell these things? He said, sure, go ahead. So that was my father and his brothers and sister. And while they're recounting these stories, my grandparents would look at each other and say, I didn't know you did that. I had no idea. Well, our father knows. There is nothing that we can hide from him. He knows exactly what we do. And this should strike fear in us. It should terrify us. Knowing that God is at hand and he sees. But it should also grieve us. Knowing that as we delve into that temptation, as we delight in what God hates, our God is standing at our side. And he sees. And he knows. Now, for those who are not gods, this should be a terror. It strikes fear into the pit of someone's being. Knowing that the God who spoke and created all things is right there and he sees it all. The God who is, by the power of his word, sustaining every cell in our bodies knows what we've done against him. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. We read these by the prophet Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What a message of hope. Yes, we're to be struck with fear. The fact that people might refuse to acknowledge that God is there and sees doesn't change the fact that he is there and he does see. And the terror that we feel is to drive us in humility on our knees before God, seeking his forgiveness. Now the Lord is near. Now is the time to seek him. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by him. In Romans 10, verse 9, Paul says, if we confess Jesus as Lord with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. And John says in 1 John 1, 9, that when we confess our sins to him, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We must all, brothers and sisters, bow humbly before our God who is near, our Father who is at hand, trembling in fear, but seeking his pardon. Let each one of us tremble in fear before God, for he is close at hand. But for the people of God, there is comfort in the fact that God is near. Be comforted, for God is close at hand. In scripture passages, in this point, Deuteronomy 4, verse 7, Psalm 34, verse 18, and 145, verse 18, in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. These passages all emphasize God's nearness to us in calling him. The picture is of a loving father who is close at hand so they can hear the hurtful whimpers of his child. The picture is of a loving father holding his child in his arms, and the child be able to, in its distress, in its turmoil, as it's weeping, calling out to that father for help. He does hear. He is at our side. He knows our innermost thoughts, let alone our whispers. And it's a great comfort to us in knowing that God is near, because as we stand and we face those temptations that we all face every day, as the enemy of God's people stands there to tempt us, to woo us away from our God, to cause us to stumble, or not cause us, but to put a stumbling block before us that we ourselves might trip over, as we face that dragon of old, our Father is near at hand to fight on our behalf, to stand with us, to deal that blow to our enemy, to deliver us from the temptation we are facing. God says, and he promises, that no temptation has overtaken us but what is common to men. And he is faithful, and he provides the way of escape also. Every single temptation that we have faced, we have been able in Christ to overcome. And it's not a strength on our own. It's not a strength that we stand up and we fight. It's a strength in that we acknowledge that we are helpless against such an enemy, and we rest and we rely on the one who is standing at our right hand. Psalm 73, verse 23 says, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. Now, in Scripture, hands are used in reference to power, to might, to strength. Someone's right hand is their power, their strength to overthrow or to attack or to defend. So the picture here is of God standing next to his child. And I'd like to illustrate this for you by calling on a young volunteer. Increase, if you could come help me for a second here. I'm not going to hit him with the bat, don't worry. I'm not cruel. So this is a picture that Psalm 73, verse 23 gives us. So Dave, are you going to attack Increase?
Am I a volunteer too?
No. So see, this is what we're given. God is standing at our right hand. And what does it show? That God's power, his strength, his might is free to defend and to conquer our enemies. Thank you. God's right hand is free. And as we stand next to God and as he stands next to us at hand, he is there to deliver us. Is there any enemy that we can't face? Any threat, any foe that can overtake us? God is there to watch over, to protect, and to strengthen us. To emphasize it again, I have it in big capital letters with a period after each word in my notes. He is there. And what a comfort this is to us. This is why in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, these can be such comforting words to us. As Paul is closing this letter to the Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And then he says, the Lord is at hand. And then the thought continues, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the source of why we're not to be anxious? Paul isn't saying, and God isn't saying, we're not going to face anxious things, things that induce us into anxiety. He promises that we will. But because God is at hand, because of his imminence, we can be free of anxiety in those instances. We can have joy in those instances because God is close at hand to us. The Lord is near. And so, child of God, be comforted. For your God is near. He is close at hand. He is there to guide you, to uphold you. As Psalm 23 shows us, he is the good shepherd who guides and directs us through the peaks and the valleys of life. He leads us in green pastures, but he also leads us through the shadow of the valley of death. In those dark places, he is with us. He is guiding us. In the picture there of the rod and the staff, which brings comfort and strength to his people, is the staff which is used to guide and direct his people, but then also the rod, which the shepherd would use to fight off the beasts and the animals that would come and that would prowl and seek to devour his sheep. He gives us comfort in his strength, in his nearness. And so if there be any here this morning who have not yet bowed their knee to Jesus Christ, who have not yet confessed their sins to him, my prayer for you, if you are here this morning, is that you would be terrified. That you would leave this building in a paralyzing fear, knowing that God is at hand, knowing that everything you do, every thought you have, every word you say, is seen and heard by the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. He is patient now so that you might come to faith in Christ. My prayer is that you will not test his patience, but today would be the day of your salvation. And for the people of God here this morning, my prayer for you is that you would leave this building comforted, sorrowful that what you have done in the presence of your God, but yet comforted and at peace in knowing that your God is there to deliver you from those temptations, from those enemies, from what you are facing. He is far powerful than he who is in the world. And he has given you victory in Jesus Christ. And he will continue to give you victory throughout your life as he guides and directs you as the Good Shepherd. And so, brothers and sisters, tremble in fear and be comforted for the simple fact that your God is near and he has close at hand. Amen. Our gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, Lord, we do give you praise and adoration and thanks for all that you have done for us and you continue to do for us. What a glorious truth, Lord, that you are close at hand. If we are living in rebellion to you, Father, we pray that you would strike us with fear, that we might bow our knees to you in humble reliance upon you. But Lord, if we have already bowed our knees to you, if we have confessed our sins, if we are in Christ, we pray, Lord, that we would be comforted, that we would know that God, the God who created heaven and earth by the power of his word, is at our right hand. And may you, Father, give us strength and deliver us from our enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.